the words of my heart, the meditations, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Well, where is your hope? Even better yet, what is hope? What is faith? Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is the hope for things not yet seen. A person who's just seen the doctor and the medical report is that you have a form of cancer, or you might have a tumor that's cancerous, and you're waiting for the pathologist's report to come back. Where's your hope then? What are you hoping for? Or is fear and doubt, worry and anxiety, are they overwhelming you? Are they beating you down and oppressing you with the fear of cancer? Death. Losing your family, being away from your family, losing your children, being taken away from your children before you've even seen them married, seen them happy, held your grandchildren. That is life. There are many that have experienced that, many who have gone through that, many who have witnessed that. So where is your hope? Well, Paul, in the scripture today, in this Romans passage, is speaking to a hope that you and I have to be in the family of God. To be children of God. Because if we're children of God, then we're children of promise. If we're children of God, we have a promise from God Himself that we will be with Him for an eternity. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He doesn't exclude anyone. We are the ones that exclude Him. He does not exclude us. He says we're debtors. He says, then, brothers and sisters, we're debtors. In other words, we owe a debt. We owe something. Not that we're entitled to something. Not that we deserve something. But we're debtors. We owe something to God. We owe something to our brothers and sisters. And we're debtors. We're debtors not to the flesh. We don't get to do the things we want to do because it feels good. Because if that's what we do, if that's where we follow, if that's where our lives lead us, then the life we have is the only life we'll have. You want to live in sin, you want to live in the world, then that's where you die. We're debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you for all who are led by the Spirit. But if you live by the Spirit, but if you live by the Spirit, not by the flesh, not by the earthly things, but by what God tells us to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. Who puts that to death? You do, but not alone. You can't put the deeds of the body to death by yourself. You need the Spirit, because it's only by the Holy Spirit that we can do those things. You and I cannot do it. Talk to someone who's suffered from alcoholism. They don't do it alone. Totally. They do it in a partnership. Anyone who's suffered any addiction, they don't get out from under it alone. Even if you stop smoking cigarettes cold turkey. You don't do it alone. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You're children of God. You know, goodness gracious, hallelujah. Children of God. God loves you. He loves his children. What parent doesn't love their children? Now, they don't always like anything they do. Ouch, sometimes that gets close to heart. I remember so many times my mom was, if I knew, I knew I was in trouble with you. Kenneth Edward? Received a spirit of adoption when we cry, Abba, Father. That's great about language, about learning a little bit more about language. You know, just like a couple of weeks ago we had a sermon with a family that were here from Germany. And in Germany, we have totally different types of language than in Russell. There's a common phrase. You say, I love you. I love you. You say that to a group. It would be impersonal. It wouldn't be intimate. And then there was the ich liebst du, I love you. It says the same thing, I love you, right, in English. But it is so much more personal, so much more personal. In the Jewish or Hebrew, Abba is father. Literal translation is father, but it's in the context in which it's presented in the scripture here. It's Abba as in daddy. It's Abba as in daddy. It's not father. Oh, holy, holy art thou, Father, up there, remote, untouchable, unpleasable. There's no way I can do anything good enough to please Father God because he's so great and powerful. He's so awesome. He spoke into the void and created everything. How's that for a Big Bang Theory? And he said, it is good. It is good. And when he created man, Adam and Eve, not just man, he said, oh, that is very good. But the Abba, Father, is that very personal daddy. Now, who gets to call dad or father daddy? What father has heard that young daughter come up to him the first time she's gone off to school? She comes back and she says, Daddy, Daddy, look what I did. Daddy, Daddy, or Mommy, Mommy. Those are so personal, so intimate, and so joyous. This is the cry of you and I when we come into the presence of God. We don't have to say, oh, Holy Father, forgive us for we have sinned. We get to say, Dad. We get to hug him and say, Dad, Daddy, oh, how I love you. And it was because you loved me that I learned what love really is. I have this promise. I am adopted into the family. I don't deserve to be in your family. I am a sinner. You cannot abide an iota of my existence in your presence because I am dirty. I am foul. I am unclean. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am clean. Not by anything that I've done. Not by anything that I've done. But it's by my belief and my faith and my hope that what Christ did fixes me, allows me to come into his presence. This creator of all there is. Oh, talk about hope. Hope. We are children of God. I consider that the sufferings of the present age are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. Oh, it's going to be great. That celestial choir up there saying, Megan, yes! Hallelujah! You don't think, hey, listen, you think high fives were created by a bunch of basketball players? I'm telling you, they were doing high fives up there in heaven long before they were high fives. They were probably doing, they're so far past high fives, they're doing other stuff. They're just standing around saying, holy, holy, holy. Creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility. What we do is futile because we don't get it. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. There's not enough good we can do. There's not enough good in our lives. There's not enough good in all of our lives to save even one of us. And the beauty of it is we don't have to. It's already done. Jesus on the cross said, okay, guys, it's up to you. I did my part. Now it's up to you to finish it, right? No. He said, it is finished. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing that I have to do. I just have to accept it and bask in the glory of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. Read the news. Look at a TV show, news program. God, if that's not groaning, I don't know what is. If it's not one insanity, it's another. When will it stop? When God says He's ready. How can we get through life? Is it despair? Should we surrender to despair and just bury our heads in the ground and say, there's nothing we can do? We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we are saved. Hope in who? Hope in who? God. Hope and faith in anything of this world, of anyone of this world, other than Christ. For in hope we're saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? If I can see this pew, it's not hope. I can touch this pew. But my hope is in a risen Savior who left that tomb, ascended to heaven, and one day by the grace of God is going to come down. Oh, are we going to celebrate that? Oh, are we going to celebrate? But until that day, my hope is the vision of Him coming down. Whether it's Revelation or 1 Thessalonians, you pick the chapter and verse you like best. But He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Where's your hope? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The patience of Job, waiting to see the fulfillment. The patience of believers who have seen Christ ascend into the very heavens and wait their entire lives for Christ to come back. 2,000 years ago, they were waiting for Him with patience, but they had a hope. You and I may pass away. You and I may not see that coming in our lifetime, in our earthly lifetime, but He is coming. well.